Welcome, welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcott. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, I am back doing this show solo. I mean, I can't even think of the last time I did a podcast solo. It's been a while. And if you listened in the last episode, you did hear at the beginning of the show, Chris and I discussed that there were changes here coming to the podcast. I am now going to begin doing the show solo here, as Chris and I are now doing our joint show, the Doctor Who show, the Tardy TARDIS podcast is back. So if you are interested in tuning into that, you can find Chris and I over there at the Tardy TARDIS. But for now, I'm here back just doing The Enthusiast Life by myself. But nothing's changing in terms of the content. We're still going to be talking video games, still going to be talking movies and television shows and all that stuff here on the podcast. But there's going to be another little change as well. I kind of stepped back and kind of looked at everything I've been doing. If you remember on the last episode, I actually talked about jumping into YouTube, which I did. I had been doing here on the Enthusiast Life YouTube channel, doing a daily video game news show, kind of just giving you the news nuggets and all that. And as much fun as I had doing that, you know, I just got to be honest, it's time consuming. You know, it's kind of the reason why I never really jumped into video so much and never really became a YouTuber or anything like that, is because it is much more time consuming to do that than it is for podcasting. And honestly, just podcasting is my love, sitting behind this microphone, having conversations, even though now it's a one-way conversation with you, the listener. I love that. And you know, I hope you guys enjoy that too. It's something that I've always just enjoyed doing. And I want to continue that. So I think what we're going to do now is we're going to scrap the Game Reverb video, daily video show. And I think I'm going to bring this, The Enthusiast Life, to a daily show, to where I'm going to do this Monday through Friday, be it talking maybe if there's a major news story, a new trailer or something like that. We're kind of giving you that every day, Monday through Friday. Have maybe a longer formatted show on the weekend, on a Saturday. And what I can also do by doing this is I can get more guests on the show. You know, this, I don't need to always have this one-way conversation. I can have just a guest about a specific topic and we dump like a 20 to 30 minute episode out on a Tuesday or whatever it is, you know, kind of do it that way. So I hope you're interested in hearing that and kind of continuing that and kind of making me, rather than a part of your week, make it a part of your day. I think it's something that will just be a lot of fun to do. And so I'm going to start doing that starting next week. So we're getting the show now. I'm going to do a little bit of a show here. And then next week, starting Monday through Friday, you know, 20, 30 minute episodes coming every day to you, which I think will be kind of neat. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually really looking forward to that because I love recording content and doing that. And you know, I appreciate every single one of you that obviously presses play to these podcasts, you know, who does that, because it just keeps me going, keeps me doing all this, which is awesome. And hopefully you got to hear the last two episodes we released were the Patreon episodes, which are so much fun to do. And actually, literally just before I'm recording this right now, I just recorded this next Patreon episode. So if you want to help support the show and be a patron to the show, you can find that down on the show notes, get access to that show early, as well as access to our Discord. And you know, we can get you on the next Patreon episode. So if you're interested in that at all, check it out down below. Otherwise, you'll get the Patreon episode just like usual next month. So yeah, check that out. But I do want to start the show talking a little bit about what I've been playing, because it's been a while since I've kind of been able to get behind the mic and talk about what video games I've been playing. Obviously, Iron Man VR has come out recently. Been playing that. That game still continues to blow me away. There is no VR game, I think, that represents a character better than Iron Man VR. Sure, we could have some better graphics. Sure, you could have it on the PC and be rolling through the Oculus and have, you know, your 4K headset and all that. But you don't need that. Like, for me, when it comes to VR, I don't need that hyper-realistic content. Like, it doesn't need to be that way. And Iron Man VR just gives you that feeling, the feedback you get from the motion, the move controllers, which is kind of funny when you think about it. Like, these, you know, these motion controllers or move controllers came out how many years ago on the PlayStation 3, and they've been able to kind of retrofit them into this VR concept that works great. I mean, just the grip, you know, makes you feel like you're shooting your beams out of your hand. Just a simple flip of your wrist. If you guys haven't seen this, I mean, you literally hold your hand up like Iron Man. You're shooting the beam out of your hand. If you push your hand down, you literally see on screen the rockets pop out of your hands. It's awesome. It just feels so good. It's just so much fun to play. Now, I saw some knocks against the game that it's just kind of a, you know, arcadey shooter type game, which to some extent it is. I mean, it, you know, in terms of like a light gun game, it is almost that. Just this is much more of a visceral experience because you're actually flying and have full 360 degree viewing. You can look around and see all that around you. So it really gives you kind of that sense of motion as if you are Iron Man. I guess if you sat down and played this game from start to finish, it probably would wear on you a little bit because it is somewhat repetitive, even though you're in new locations. You're still kind of doing the same thing. I mean, you're leveling up your suit, getting some different weapon choices, but in the end, you know, you're still shooting robots and drones and things flying around and all that. But for me, I don't play VR like that. I play VR in 30-minute, hour-long chunks at most. And so this game is perfect for that. Just to quickly, you know, go in, strap the headset on, which, by the way, literally makes you feel like you're putting the headset on or your helmet on just like Iron Man, and just go fly around for a little bit. It's super fun. I mean, I honestly want to say, for me personally, it's the best game on PlayStation VR and probably the best game I've played in VR for me. Now, I played some demos of games. A lot of people really love Resident Evil 7. Obviously, a game like Astrobot is very cool for what it is, but in that case, you're in the game, but you're kind of controlling him almost as if a platformer, like he's another character. You're not actually Astrobot himself. And this game, you are Tony Stark, you are Iron Man, and it's awesome. I think they really nailed it with this game. It's really, really cool. The other game I've been playing a lot right now is Halo 3 on PC. That's right, going back to 2007, playing the old school games. They launched Halo 3 onto the Master Chief Collection for PC. And getting back into Halo, I've just found my Halo roots again. You know, that game series still to this day, I mean, it's the reason we started Guardian Radio those many years ago, was because of the pedigree and just the ability of Bungie to make these incredible games. And I love the multiplayer. It took me a little bit to kind of get back into it because it plays very different than modern shooters, but it reminds me when I play it of why I like it. The fact that, you know, your skill comes down to map knowledge and knowing the map itself and knowing where the power weapons spawn or when they're going to spawn. And so that becomes kind of these battles that everybody starts fighting around. But then also on top of that, anytime you encounter someone, it's never, you saw me first, I'm dead, or I saw you first, you're dead. It's always, what are the tools I have now? I'm getting shot at. My skill is being able to counter you. I actually always feel like in every fight, I have a chance to win it. And if I lose, usually I can come up with the reason why I did, and that reason usually isn't you saw me first. It's always, you know, crap, I should have threw my plasma grenade, or damn, I didn't plant that grenade right, or, you know, I should have used a plasma weapon to drop their shields first and then hit them with the pistol rather than just fire on with the pistol. Like, you just start learning as you play the game, and a lot of shooters today don't really do that anymore. I mean, I don't play a lot of Fortnite, but I know my son in his head has a lot of those damage numbers for Fortnite. Like, he'll hit somebody and say, like, oh, he had 6 HP, he should have dropped because of, you know, X. And, you know, you start to learn that. And I think maybe, if anything, that game kind of does that. And I mean, I guess even some of these other Battle Royale games do when you start incorporating armor and things like that into those games. But because there's so much randomness to the location of weapons and things on those maps, and there's such a larger scale, there is so much more randomness to those shooters. Where when you take a game like Halo, where, you know, every map is almost like a chessboard, it's the same every time you play it. If you're playing it in a certain playlist, it's going to be the same. Or if you're playing the competitive playlist, the map's the same. The rocket launcher's in the same spot. It spawns at the same time. Like, you just know that. And so I just miss that in some of my shooters. And I wish more games would do that now. I even think, like, what Bungie did with Destiny. Like, as much fun as Destiny is and as fast and as visceral as some of that can feel, it still misses some of that because there is always a constant randomness with different loadouts. Halo didn't have loadouts. Sure, you can look at Reach and say at some point they did. It still wasn't the same as like something like a Call of Duty, or, I mean, hell, like I said, even like Destiny does now, where, you know, people can have these weapons that are completely match changing. Where in this, you start with the assault rifle, and if it's a different, and if it's a more of a distance map, you got a battle rifle or you got a pistol. Let's go. And that's where it starts. And I just miss that. You know, that's where I think a game like right now we have Valorant over on PC, or why a game like Counter-Strike is always so popular, because those games are like that, where they're just always the same. Some of the randomness sure comes in the fact in those games where you have a bank, you're earning money, you're buying different weapons for each match or each round. But in the end, you know, it's still about that same play field. That's why people like MOBAs, because even though MOBAs, people can say, oh, you're playing on one map, it's the same map over and over. It's not about the map. It's not about that. It's about learning to play the game and the skill of the game. And I'm not saying that other shooters don't have skill, but to go back and play Halo and realize how much skill really was entailed in that game, it's refreshing. It's refreshing to go back to that, for sure. Now, speaking of MOBAs, actually, tomorrow, as I'm recording this, so today, probably, while many of you are hearing this, Strange Matter Studios, a upstart video game developer, is actually releasing a game called Fault. Now, if you know my history when it comes to podcasting as well, you know that I used to do a podcast called Paragon Radio, which was a podcast all about the MOBA from Epic Games called Paragon. Of course, Paragon 100, when Fortnite was hugely successful, well, Epic basically unloaded all of the assets to people and said, do with it what you will. And so there's been multiple studios here over the last basically 2 years building Paragon again, or Paragon-like games again. We had one come out last week that I believe is called, last week was Predecessor's one. I can't remember if that was last week's one. This week on Steam in Early Access is Fault, which is the Strange Matter Studios. And so it's like we have all these games, and my fear is, because I watch the videos on these games, and I can't wait to get into Fault. I think you got to buy into Early Access. I think I'm going to do it, because it really looks good. Some people are upset that they're charging for people to get into it, but I got no problem doing that. I'm going to be playing with these characters again that I loved in this game for so long. But, you know, my fear is there's the two, and then there is at least another one that I know of. So there's three of these games coming out. Paragon already had a small enough population. Like, how are we going to be able to break, you know, that small population now into three games? One of these games needs to win out, and I don't know how that happens. So my fear is that rather than have the one game that's going to be the game that's going to kind of, you know, be the king to them all, we're going to have these three separate games, and they're all going to kind of fail because of that. I mean, a MOBA, you can't sit there and wait 30 minutes for your game to start to then go in and have the game itself take 30 to 40 minutes. You know, people just don't have time for that. So that's my fear for this. But hey, whatever. I'm going to go in. I definitely want to check it out. I'm going to be playing with these heroes again. I can't wait to get in. If you've never played it, if you ever wanted to get into a MOBA, you know, now may be the time to get in with these. I mean, sure, someone like me who knows the kits of these characters, which to some extent, a lot of that is being kept the same. That is one of the things that they wanted to do, was kind of keep somewhat those kits of the characters and all that the same, so people kind of can just ease themselves back in. But there are changes that they're making in the way that you're buying upgrades to your characters and all that. The maps are different. They're not exactly one-to-one to what Paragon was. So if there ever was a time that you wanted to play a MOBA, now may be the time. And I promise you, like, if you've looked at League of Legends and you've looked at, you know, even Heroes of the Storm, which is very, you know, beginner friendly, user friendly, but you don't like the kind of that isometric feel, you want to have direct control over your character, you're more of a shooter player, Paragon / Fault / Predecessor, whatever, any of these games, they might be right up your alley. I mean, they're very similar to Smite to some extent. I mean, it is kind of that same level. Smite is a third-person MOBA as well that's been highly successful and is the game that when I wanted to get my MOBA fix on, that's where I go to get that third-person MOBA fix. But this might be a good time. Jump in, man. Check it out. I think it's, you know, it'd be pretty cool. You know, obviously a lot of video game news coming out this week. I mean, I covered a lot of that on the YouTube channel and with the Game Reverb shows. But, you know, we did get the Ubisoft event this week. You know, we had the Watch Dogs Legion trailer. We had, you know, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I still, man, that game just, game just looks like it's going to be good. I know a lot of people were kind of looking at it saying, you know, graphically it doesn't look that great. You know what? Does that really matter anymore? Like, I know it does, and I know we're going into a new console generation, and everybody now needs to be all about graphics, but, like, Origins and Odyssey, Assassin's Creed, both those games, were just great. I mean, they were super fun, awesome RPGs. Odyssey, in particular, was just fantastic, completely captivated me. And if Valhalla is just more of that, I'm fine with that. Like, that's okay. And even, like, today, or as many of you are hearing this is when Ghost of Tsushima comes out. And getting great reviews, looks great, but one of the knocks against it is that it's a very kind of cookie cutter open world where there's all, you know, side quests that do get somewhat repetitive and all that. But you know what? Like, for me, I'm a guy that doesn't really bother that so much. Sure, or mind that so much. If you're a streamer and you're playing 20 hours a day, yeah, those side quests are going to get old. But guess what? If you're a regular consumer just buying the video game and you only get an hour or two to play a day, just escaping to that world half the time is the fun of the game. So no matter what you're doing in there, it's fine. And you're not seeing those repetitive missions so much. Like, people get so hung up on that lately. And look, maybe that's just the older gamer and me and the gamer who doesn't have as much time as everybody else nowadays. I'm okay with it. You know, Ghost of Tsushima, the world they built just looks incredible. Like, it is wow. Like, you see some of these trailers and the gameplay footage, and it is wowing. It will wow you. And, you know, originally I wasn't quite sure if I was going to be jumping in on this game, but I don't know, you know, like we don't have enough time, right? There's too little time in the world. I think, you know, 2020, the way this year has been going, can we at least maybe add some more hours to the day? Like, well, we're already changing everything up as it is. Come on, give us some more hours in the day. I think that may help us out in the end. I don't know. But obviously next week is the big Xbox event. We're going to be talking about that a lot next week, I'm sure. And, you know, hopefully maybe I can get a friend down here to talk to me about some of that stuff. But games right now, we're it's funny, you know, not having E3, we're having just kind of the summer of games. And I mean, isn't that kind of what they're calling it right now? The Game Summer Fest or whatever it is. So we're kind of getting our E3 kind of spread out throughout the summer. It's kind of funny, you know, kind of going through that right now. It's pretty good. I want to shift gears a little bit too, because we had a new streaming service launch this week, and that is NBC's Peacock. Now, Peacock is available. It's free on pretty much every device you can get in. There's a free tier to the membership. So that's all I did. We went in, we downloaded it on our Apple TV. I got it now on my iPhone, and just went in and started checking out the content. Holy crap, there is a lot of content for not having to spend any money at all. So you can spend about $5. I think it's $4.99 or $50 for the year to get kind of like, you know, the locked content, which... For what I saw, there really isn't a ton of locked content for the content with advertising. So think of like Hulu, kind of how you do Hulu where they have ads. Or $10 a month, $100 for the year for the non-ad version. Now, I don't know. I'm going to preface this, and I just kind of realized this as I'm talking out loud. Sign up for that free content. I don't know if some of the content that I'm seeing, because there was a documentary that Dale Jr. or Dale Earnhardt put out, and it's like him going to like these old racetracks. I was like, oh, that looks cool. I want to check that out. I thought some of that content would be locked because that's like the exclusive content for Peacock, but it wasn't. It was like letting me kind of just start every episode. So maybe right now everybody's just kind of bumped up to that premium and they're letting us see that. I don't know. But at some point, some of that content is going to be locked. But there is a lot of stuff on there to watch. I mean, we're talking like Parks and Rec, the whole season is just there, right? Or the whole series. Anybody that wants to watch it, you can go watch it. On top of that, the cool thing they're doing is they have live channels. So there is like an Unsolved Mystery channel. You can just go watch the whole Unsolved Mystery channel, which I thought it was so cool. It's kind of like Pluto TV does the same thing. If you're familiar with that, it's basically like Viacom and a bunch of these companies just kind of put their shows on there, but just run them as channels. So it's kind of like you're not really watching it on demand, but you're watching these channels. Like there's even like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles channel. It's just showing all old Ninja Turtle cartoons, or anime channel. It's just showing random anime, or MTV or CNN, which it's not like live minute-to-minute CNN, but it might be like a 12-hour-old CNN feed. It's just really cool what Pluto does. Well, Peacock is doing something similar. There was, like I said, an Unsolved Mysteries channel. There was a channel on like the ID channel, or one all about, you know, like the crime shows. Or there was one called like Ultimate Fails. And my kids, I mean, this is what we ended up watching last night. My kids don't even want to watch shows anymore because they're like the YouTube generation. So we're watching the Ultimate Fail channel. And it was literally just silly videos of people failing over and over and over. Then there was like the Awesome channel. And it was all these guys with GoPros and things like that on the channel. And I thought that was pretty neat, like to have this streaming service. Because I remember when they announced this and were like, all right, NBC now is getting in the game. I mean, CBS is already in it, you know, with their CBS Premium or whatever it is they call it now. And so NBC getting into it, it's kind of like, what are they going to do that's different? Well, I think what they're doing is different. They're adding these live channels, which are super cool. But then also like just offering so much of it for free with the ads. You know, you almost wonder, like, would it be cheaper for these companies to, like, just put ads on all this stuff? And, like, you know, charge more money for the advertisers to advertise because they can say, hey, we have this whole population of people that are watching this stuff that aren't watching your ads on regular NBC, broadcast NBC anymore. They're watching it through Peacock. Like, that may be the future. That may be something we start seeing. And then, of course, you pay to get rid of those ads. Like, it's a pretty smart thing. Like, this is, it's funny, you know, we just had Quibi launch and we had Peacock, and like, they're both on the completely opposite ends of the spectrum for streaming services. Like, Peacock is doing it completely right. Like, they really thought this through, and I'm super impressed. I mean, I haven't really gone in, like I said, too much of the original content. From what I'm hearing about it, there is some awesome shows. I mean, the guy that in Solo, that actor there, he's got a whole sci-fi show that's on there. Definitely looks like they kind of double down and are going to bring these kind of premium shows to it, kind of like a Netflix or like CBS is doing right now. But I'm interested to see how it takes off because, hey, if it's free, why not, right? Everybody just gets in. And actually, I'm reading right now, Peacock offers a standard 7-day free trial for any new signups. It says to either premium tier. So I guess you still have to do that. So I'm not signed up. I mean, I just kind of put in my email. And there's no billing or anything that I gave him. I just signed up and I suddenly had access to start watching. And we just did that all through the Apple TV. So unless as I'm talking out loud, Apple's probably like, they're billing my Apple billing right now, probably, or in 7 days they will be. I say check it out. I think it's well worth getting in there. I mean, if anything, just for those live channels. I mean, just want something to throw on. I mean, that's one of the things I've always said about like cutting the cord and going all streaming is, you lose that ability to just put something on the TV, like just to throw something on. And there's something to that. You know, my wife and I would sit there and bang our heads against the wall. Like, what do we want to watch tonight on Netflix or Hulu? And next thing we knew, we wasted 30 minutes arguing or just trying to figure out what to watch. Where when you can just throw on Food Network and it's like, you know, an old Anthony Bourdain show or Diners, Dives, and Drives and just kind of have that on. It's just something to be there on. There's something to that. And I think Peacock offering that is cool. None of the other services do that. Hulu doesn't do that. Netflix doesn't do that. Like, that's something that Peacock is bringing. Now, we may very well see that. That might be something that might be coming once these other services see that. That might be something they may do as well. But I thought that was cool, man. Thought that was pretty neat. Speaking also of Netflix, and then, I mean, I mentioned the Unsolved Mysteries channel. There is a new Unsolved Mysteries now on Netflix, which I've mentioned it before. My wife and I love those crime shows, you know, Dateline, all that stuff. And that's essentially what this is. They're each about 45 to 50 minutes going into a crime and kind of digging deep into it. I even saw that looks like they're putting up some of the footage they haven't used or didn't use, like, you know, family videos and pictures and that, onto Google Drives for some of these stories. So we've watched two of them. Both of them are cool. You know, it's kind of weird watching a show like that again where the mystery's not solved. Like, so many of the Datelines and all that you watch now, you see the crime, you see them kind of, you know, investigate it, and then it ends with the trial and the person like going to jail or whatever it is. This is Unsolved Mysteries, so the mystery is not solved. So it ends and you don't know who did it. You don't know the finality. And they're literally asking us as the viewer to help them, you know, call this number, email this person. And it's kind of weird seeing that again, but that's what that show was. And so it's been kind of neat going online and seeing like the internet just explode of people trying to solve these crimes. I mean, it's kind of a neat little thing I think they're doing. I mean, it probably would be weird, obviously, if this was impacting your family or friends. I think it's kind of cool that they're doing that. And man, they nailed the theme music. If you were like me back in the day, when you would hear that Unsolved Mysteries theme music, it would terrify the hell out of me. And Robert Stack, who was that old host, when the new theme song plays, it's somewhat of a remix version, but it still has that creepy factor to it. When it flashes Unsolved Mysteries up on the screen, you see Robert Stack's like silhouette and it's creepy. So they nailed that. They nailed that factor with Unsolved Mysteries, which is wild. So check that show out. I think it's something I think a lot of people would dig for sure. Well, that's going to do it for me, guys, here. You know, like I said, we're going to start doing more of these kind of shorter bite-sized shows. I'm thinking Monday through Friday, probably, you know, about this length, maybe 20 minutes, depending on the day. We'll pick a topic, and then I'll start even trying to get some guests here on the show that I can even kind of record those, you know, interviews, conversations elsewhere, and then just release them as a show here. Of course, email me, theenthusedlife@gmail.com. I want to know what you guys are thinking about, what I talked about today or just kind of the future for the show. Or who do you want to hear on the show? Who do you want me to get? What topics do you want me to talk about? If we're doing the show, you know, more times a week, I'm going to need some more things to talk about, because every day there's not always something big, newsworthy or whatever, or a topic breaking out there. Let me know, you know, anything. It doesn't need to even be movies in that. I mean, we're, you know, the name of the show, The Enthusiast Life, makes it where we can talk about anything. Are you big into rock climbing? We get a rock climber here on the show, you know, to talk about whatever it is. You know, that's kind of what I think I want to turn the show into, where we're just kind of bringing up, you know, fun, cool topics that people are just enthusiastic about. And then, of course, have these kind of new shows, kind of more, not new shows, but these topical shows kind of intermixed in between too, which I think would be real cool. And like I said at the top of the show, if you do want to become a patron of the show, where I just recorded this month, so we will be doing getting set for next month's, you can find that information down below. Get access to the Discord chat, which I love to have so many of you get involved in that. We have so much fun over in the Discord chat and have a lot of great conversations over there. And of course, I get you access to the patron show early and get you the chance to come on the show too. So I'd love to talk to you guys. It's kind of fun now that I'm doing those shows even solo. I can kind of set times to meet up with different people at different times and kind of then piece it all together at the end, which you're going to hear in the upcoming episode. That's essentially what I did. It was multiple days, multiple times, kind of got everybody together and then piece that show together. So with that, everybody, thank you here for tuning in. This show will probably, the next time you'll hear me probably will be Monday. I think we're going to kind of roll through this weekend. And then Monday, we'll hit it and start going Monday through Friday. So thank you so much. And with that, we'll catch you next time.